welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
And collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. Our guest today is Wimba Kasongo, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Wimba is...
Absolutely. I'm actually impressed.
Oh!
We did watch your YouTube video on Facebook, so to try to get it right.
Yes, yes.
All right. Wimba is joining us today from Zambia. She is a volunteer at her local hospital, acting as an advocate for mothers who have just discovered that their child has sickle cell. Wimba, thank you for taking the time to join us today all the way from Zambia to talk about sickle cell disease.
Yes, hello, Wimba.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm in the States right now, virtually.
Yes, you see, you're traveling.
Yes.
We helped you travel.
Yes. Indeed. I'm so humbled to be here.
Thank you.
Wimba, how old were you when your parents realized that you had sickle cell?
Okay, so my parents discovered that I had sickle cell at the age of 6 months. I remember my mom telling me I had jaundice. But now I'm 38 years. I've been living with it for 38 years.
Okay.
Jaundice. Can you let us know, can you tell our listeners what jaundice is?
Absolutely. Jaundice is a yellow substance that is released from the liver. In our bodies, our red blood cells eventually break down and new ones are made. For normal people, new ones are made every 60 to 90 days. I mean, 90 to 120 days. For those with sickle cell, it's between 30 and 60 days. Unfortunately, sickle cell does not live as long as normal red blood cells. When the red blood cells break down faster than your liver, it can filter out your system that then forms the jaundice. Bilirubin, which is yellow in color, is formed in the liver during the breakdown of hemoglobin. When everything is functioning okay in a normal person's body, it's excreted in the bowel. My parents and the doctors, including the healthcare, realized my eyes were yellow and my skin was yellow, and that is when they decided to do the sickle cell test.
Okay. And were you...
And hence being sickle cell.
Okay. And were your parents familiar with sickle cell disease before they received the diagnosis for you?
Absolutely not. And it's weird because I was the first one in the family. I don't have cousins. I don't have brothers. I don't have sisters. I don't have anyone around, uncles who have sickle cell. But my mom is a retired nurse.
Oh.
So she kind of knew about it from her education. But at that time, the information wasn't as it is right now. Because right now, I mean, we're blessed with Google, we're blessed with the internet. But that time, no, not so much. So the doctors really had to prepare them and run through them. And I think the people that discovered sickle cell are in a much better position because information is out there.
Right.
So
okay.
For my parents, you know, not very familiar with it.
Okay. And it sounds like it was probably a difficult time for you and your parents, since you were the first one in the family. They had to learn a lot, right?
Yes, I'm the only one in the family of five, and I was the first born. I'm the first born. So it was very, very difficult for them. And sickle cell patients spend a lot of time in the hospital receiving so much treatments and blood transfusions. And we're also dependent on medication. You can imagine we have to live on medication all the rest of our lives from the time that we are born. And sometimes because of due to severe anemia, lack of red blood cells, get bad migraines, and it becomes almost impossible to live a normal life. So growing up was very, very difficult. But my support system, my family, was much better than most people out there.
Well, that's good.
That's good. What were the hardest parts physically for you as you were growing up?
The pain was so real. The pain, you're constantly sick every 3 months, every 4 months. And I can tell you, because I'm coming from a third world country, we did not have the drugs that we have been introduced to now.
Okay.
I mean, you can think back 38 years ago. So I'd be in pain 3 days nonstop, constantly, you know. So the drip, yes, I'll go to the hospital, the drip, the IV would try the painkillers, but not, I couldn't get the relief that I'm able to get now, 30 years later. So it was very, very difficult. Also, the stigma, I was familiar with support at home. But when I got to school, high school, secondary school, that is where I really learned that people could actually laugh at me for my condition. People literally say, you're going to die by 16. You know, imagine going to a play park and you can't play with your friends. Imagine always wearing jeans and socks all the time. Imagine always having up to drink water. It was very difficult growing up. So it's not an easy lifestyle.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, really. That must have made things very difficult for you growing up.
And your siblings, they do not have sickle cell, correct?
No, my siblings don't have sickle cell. So like I mentioned, I'm just born in a five. Three sisters, one brother. They all don't have sickle cell. But my parents took my sisters and my brother for the sickle cell test. But I can tell you that this was like maybe 15, 20 years ago, yeah. And at that time, the sickling test wasn't as accurate as it is now. But I think it's because I'm the only one going through sicknesses and pain, so they just automatically assumed that it is what it is. So the first result 20 years ago over my siblings, they came out non-sickle cell.
Okay. You mentioned that everyday tasks can be difficult. What was school like for you?
Oh, very hard. I would miss school most of the times. And I don't know if you know about sickle cell much, but I can tell you that sickle cell patients are very intelligent people. So even though I miss school, I'll find that the whole term I'm not going to school. I've missed a lot of classes, but once I get into that school, I catch up on my books and I'll find myself one of the best students. So this was not easy. I remember lying in bed and thinking my friends are playing, my friends are going to school, my friends are learning. I'm so behind. It was very, very hard. And then even when I did go to school, when I did manage to go to school, it had to be cautious. I had to wear my jersey all the time, my socks all the time. If I have an infection at that time, it would mean that I have to take my medicine, break off, drink my medicine. So that was very embarrassing. I would hide myself in the toilet and just hide away from anyone and just not talk about it. Yeah. So it was very, very hard. Like I mentioned earlier, your friends are playing in the play park, your friends are dancing in the rain, your friends are playing up and down the swing and everything, and you can't do it. You just sit there and every day, right? Because you know, if you even try, you will fall sick the same night.
I'm so sorry. It's terrible.
And what helped you the most, do you think, deal with that emotional pain and stress?
Okay, so like I said, I think family support has been great. Friends, primary school, high school, I wouldn't say so. There was a lot of bullying. There was a lot of stigma. There was a lot of laughter. So I would find comfort at home, in my mom's arms, in my dad's arms. Sometimes I'd literally go to my mom and just cry on her lap and say, it's not fair. I don't want to live this life anymore. I just wish my life could end right now, because what's the point of living this life that I'm suffering? So my emotional, the way I would deal with it emotionally, would just cry. Sometimes I would cry the whole night. My pillow would be soaking wet with crying. I would literally say, I don't want to live this life anymore. A life of pain, a life of laughter, of stigma, of always in hospital, of medicine. I just didn't want to do anything. So I let it out just by crying.
Okay. That's got to be the hardest thing for a child with a chronic illness. You can't escape it. You know, it's just part of your life. And thank God you've got your family for the support.
And now, you know, yes, there's kids that can count on you and families that can count on you to help them through, you know, difficult periods, which is wonderful.
Right.
Very true.
We are well aware of the connections between mental health and physical health. Now that things are a little bit, you know, maybe more progressed with the internet, have you found any support groups in your area that can offer assistance for those that are newly diagnosed with sickle cell?
Okay, yeah. So I live in the city. I live in the capital city, Lusaka. But we have general hospitals in every what you guys call states. In my country, it's called provinces. So we've got 10 provinces. So in every province, there is a general hospital. But like I said, the information, the studies, the research, the medical care wasn't advanced at that time. So because it's slowly now getting there, we only have 3 general hospitals that offer sickle cell treatment.
Oh.
The other provinces, it has not yet been established. So 7 provinces are lacking sickle cell centers. Only 3 have.
Because we're not familiar with the country or the distances, the geography of it. How far might a person have to go then to get treatment?
Like I say, different states and different provinces. So the distance in another state, what you guys call a state, is distance in another province.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the furthest province to come to the city to get treatment for sickle cell, it can take you 9-8 hours to travel to the city.
Wow.
The ones that are near the central, it may take even 1 hour, 2 hours. But the furthest to go as far as 8-9 hours. And you can imagine if someone is in pain, I'm coming from a third world country, so our transport system is not on point yet, our technology is not yet on point, our road system is not, it's a big challenge, But thankfully, the Ministry of Health is slowly, like I said, now we're getting to a point where sickle cell is really being talked about. So they are trying. They're really, it's just that Rome was not built in one day. But for now, only 3 general hospitals offer sickle cell treatment centers.
Okay.
Support groups have actually been created by us ourselves, the sickle cell patients. So 3 times in a month. I mean, 3 times in a year.
Okay.
Just to like bring a dish, bring a drink, interact, help each other out. Yeah, and then we interact mostly on WhatsApp and Facebook and everything. But to say physical support groups, for example, the way the alcoholics do it, we haven't reached there yet.
Okay.
We just choose as our own in the community to say let's meet at this day. So at least we try 3 times in a year.
That's nice.
But we've spoken with other guests before with sickle cell and discovered a sickle cell crisis. Now, you mentioned pain. How do you now deal with chronic pain or a crisis?
Oh, yes. Number one, I just rushed to the hospital. The thing is, the sickle cell is in stages. There's severe, there's mild, and not so bad. So depending on how it comes, sometimes you can be in a deep sleep and then it just catches you from nowhere and the entire body is pain, as in fire pain, you can't do anything.
Wow.
That one, immediately you have to go to the hospital. Then there's sometimes where it's just the leg. The entire parts are okay, but maybe just your hand or your leg or your ankle. That one, I usually manage it from home. I just drink my water, lots of water, as in gallons of water.
Oh, wow.
Keep warm, put on my knee-high socks, my jerseys, my scarf, hot water bottle, pain wrap. That one I'm able to manage from home. But there are times when you literally can't move, you're crawling, and they just have to rush you to the hospital. Once the IV fluid gets in, the painkillers, at least you begin to feel better.
Okay. And we've heard from someone who that you can develop other illnesses in addition to the sickle cell disease, such as gout or issues with your vision, or even you're more prone to having pneumonia. Have you had any such health, related concerns.
Actually, there was somebody that had something with the bones, didn't they?
Yeah. Because your blood cell, your red blood cells
right,
are
the
so,
bones died.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there could be comorbidities.
Right. Have you had any such complications?
Absolutely, yes. As in capital letters, yes.
No.
I've had pneumonia and it almost killed me. I was unconscious. I was on oxygen. It was bad. Yes. So, yes, the thing is, sickle cell is, because our immune system is low, we can have any kind of complication that can come upon us because our bodies are strong enough to fight most of these things.
Okay.
So I've had pneumonia. And another thing is I've been in a wheelchair for 2 months. I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. My parents literally made a timetable to lift me up, to tend me, take me to the toilet, to bath me, to feed me. So another thing, I also have the hip necrosis.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also very painful. So yes, with sickle cell comes lots of complications. I've met people with stroke, people that have damaged into stroke, yes. I've met people, like you're saying, bones totally crushed from walking to complete wheelchair dependency. So it has a lot of complications, yeah. And that's why they tell us to say, the doctors always advise us to say, try by all means to avoid a crisis. Because the more you have a crisis, the more your bones get crushed, the more the cracks in your bones. So once you have crack openings in your bones, it causes that opening for all sorts of infections because those things go straight into your bones and everything just shuts down sometimes.
Okay.
I have a quick question I wanted to just interject real quick with this coronavirus, COVID-19. Are you taking any more special precautions or things that you're doing extra special now?
Okay. Yes, definitely. I mean, coronavirus is scary, especially for us who have weak immune systems. But for sickle cell, that's our life. We have to wash our hands all the time. We have to make sure our environment is clean. We have to make sure we distance ourselves from people who are coughing or sneezing because we easily pick up on that. Especially things like tuberculosis. So for us, that it's practically a normal thing. But you know, when you hear coronavirus and you see the impact of what it's doing, you even take more precautions. So for me, I'm really just taking the these days. Yeah, I rarely move. In fact, I suspended most of my work. I usually just do it either online or thing until this thing passes because I'm like the highest risk because of my immune system.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, we spoke with a guest from Australia where sickle cell is actually very rare. That's not the case in Zambia, is it? Is it? Or is it also rare where you are from? How common is it?
No, like I said, 30 years ago, it wasn't very common. It was rare, but now it's common. We have a population of almost 10,000.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So it's the community is really big, yeah. Because even when I'm meeting people, I meet in a week with my work.
Mm-hmm.
I did about, I would say, close to 120.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good group.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess because we're...
that. Yes. Yeah. So the number is really big here. I think it's not something rare. It's something very common, actually.
Okay.
And can you tell our listeners how your disease, how it's been treated?
Oh, yes, sure. Remember, sickle cell has no cure. It's genetic, so you are born with it and you're going to die with it. So you manage it. So what they call management, there's no treatment, there's no permanent thing that you can use to say this will go away, but you just manage it. So drinking a lot of water, eating a lot of vegetables, keeping myself warm. I always dreaded taking my medicine and just feeling that I trust myself. When I was working before, I was in full-time employment. I had a job where I literally had to tell them to say I cannot do physical work.
Sure.
So they, thankfully, they understood, and they gave me a light-duty job. So you also have to make sure you don't strain yourself too much, you don't run too much, you don't, because the sickle cell muscle is on the physical part. Once that physicalness gets down, all that comes in and gets attacked. So number one is the hospital, definitely. And the hospital will introduce you to hematology doctors who will guide you on the do's and don'ts.
Okay.
Right.
Is there anything that you could do holistically to treat the disease, like meditation or massages, acupuncture, anything like that?
Or maybe not to treat so much as to manage the symptoms.
Right, right. Yes, to manage the symptoms.
Yeah, that's I get you. Not really. I don't do holistic, no, but massages, I do. But even the massage is just, I just like to lay down in a hot tub.
Okay.
For 30 minutes.
Sure.
That really helps me. Yeah, that really helps me. So every day, they're always complaining that you take long baths. But usually that's what I do. I just lay in hot water. It's a shower, or just sit in the middle of the shower and let the hot water pour. Like not even warm water, hot. But of course not hot enough to burn me, but hot.
Okay.
And just let it go on me. I usually feel so much better. And meditation, yeah, I meditate on the word. I'm a very spiritual person, and when I need to read, I need the Bible.
Okay,
and,
sure.
I meditate on the word. That helps me as well.
Okay.
Wimba, at the beginning of this episode, we mentioned that you volunteer at the hospital to assist new parents with their infants who have been diagnosed with sickle cell. Can you tell us, like, what do you talk to the parents about, or tell us more about what you do with them, please?
Okay, yeah. So, yes, like I mentioned, I actually quit my full-time job. People thought I was crazy.
Sure.
I quit my full-time job to do this because I realized I really wanted to help people who are on the same journey, because I was once there. I was once in that stage of why me, it's not fair, this isn't happening, I can't do this anymore. But fast forward today, I'm positive, I'm like, I can do this, it's no big deal. Yes, I'll have my days, it's going to be okay. So I took my full-time job and decided to volunteer at two major hospitals in the city. And like you said, I meet, in fact, the biggest population of the people I meet are parents to small infants. Okay, great. So, like I said, I used to work. I had a full-time job, and I decided to quit my full-time job and go into full-time volunteering. My parents and everyone thought I was crazy, but it's something that I needed to do. I was once upon a time in the place, it is not fair, I can't do this anymore, I don't want to live anymore, did I just come to this earth to suffer? Fast forward today, I'm at a place of I'm very positive. I'm very okay with my situation. I'm living whether I have sickle cell or not. So because of that, decided I needed to help people who are going through the same thing,
sure.
The same journey, the same struggles, because I understood better as somebody with sickle cell. So I quit my full-time job and started working at two. So both in the city where I stay.
And what type of work do you do at the hospital?
Okay, so Jean asked if the parents that I meet, like how do they react to what I do? So like I say, I was saying my biggest population of sickle cell patients are actually the mothers themselves, the parents to the sickle cell patients. Because at this point, they're coming very defeated. They don't understand. I come from a third world country, so sometimes it's affiliated with witchcraft. Sometimes it's affiliated with demons, you know, so it But most of the time, this is a situation where they've never heard about it, they've never been informed about it. It's the first time in the family. So they come in so very confused. I have had cases where I've met a couple that has separated, several couples, in fact, that have separated because their child has sickle cell. So they come in to look for a cry to the doctors, and once they get to know this information at the hospital, and I am there as their support system. I'm there to tell them it's okay. It's not a death sentence. If they wish this upon you, it's not a bad thing. Yes, it has its challenges, and it's going to be a rocky road, but it's going to be okay. So what I do is I meet almost between 100 and 120 sickle cell patients. I'll say 20 adults. The rest are infants, pediatrics. And they range from baby to 16, and then the adults from 16 to 30, 40. And what I do is I stand before them, because we have a clinic, and before the doctor comes in, I go before them and just talk to them about sickle cell, how to manage it, how it comes about, that it's not a bad thing. Yeah, so it helps. It fulfills my life. It gives me so much joy to bring hope to people who are going through the same struggle, because I have been there. So when I go there, I just support the team. I encourage them. I tell them it's not going to be easy, but it's okay.
That's
wonderful.
I'm sure that the parents and the children and everyone really appreciates what you do, and we appreciate it as well. We need more people like you out there in this world.
Right, right. At least they can see that, you know, here you are, Wimba, healthy, energetic, positive attitude, 38 years old. You've already gone through it, and you can show them that everything is going to be okay just by living and, you know, showing them. Right?
Very much. And they do really appreciate it, because but at a point where they don't understand, they're still in their confusion, they're still going through the wine news. But they look at me, they look at the joy on my face, they look at the positivity in my voice, they look at how happy I am. They're like, wow, I want my child to be exactly as you are.
Yes.
I want her to be as strong as you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's because the feedback that I get, I literally find parents telling me to say, for the first time in I don't know how many months, my son is actually looking forward to coming to the hospital, because he's saying, I want to be like Linda. I also want to help people with sickle cell.
Oh, that's
very
fantastic.
Nice.
So
very
that is,
nice.
Yes, they do get so encouraged when I stand there and I'm talking to them with so much joy, so much peace. And they're like, how in the world is she managing to do this? If she can do it, then we can do it.
Yeah.
So it really helps. Sometimes they'll call me, they'll be like, I don't know how you did it, but my child now eats vegetables. She's like, you never said I should eat my vegetables.
Nice.
Sometimes they'll call me and say, I don't know how you did it. She now wears glasses. I don't have to force her.
Oh, nice.
So they really do listen. They really do listen, because I stand there with such a positive attitude.
That's
and
all
when
it,
they're down, I
it means so much, doesn't it? Having that positive attitude.
Yes, it means so much. And they usually look at me like, but where does she get her strength from? Where does she, how does she smile through all what I've been through? Because I use that opportunity to tell them what I've been through. I've been on a wheelchair, I've been in pneumonia, I've been on oxygen, so they know my history so well, and they get so shocked to say, but how does she do it? And it's because of that I do that, because I want to show them to say, whatever you do with sickle cell, you will make it. You will stand strong.
Very good.
That's fabulous.
Very good. Wimba, what tips, hints, or suggestions would you like to give our listeners? Their child was just diagnosed with sickle cell.
Okay, great. So whoever who's listening, whoever who has a child with sickle cell, whoever has just discovered you have a child with sickle cell, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not going to be an easy journey. Like I said, you have to take your child to the hospital. They'll be admitted. They'll be dependent on medicine. Their lifestyle would not be as active as it's supposed to be. But I want to tell you that each and every one of us have been created for a purpose, for a reason. There's a reason why we are here. And so nothing should wear you down, not even sick or fail. Yes, it's not going to be easy. Yes, there are days you will cry. Yes, it will be so frustrating. But look at it from a point of you are special. Your child is special. That child is beautiful in every way. And they can do anything they want to do, and they can be whoever they want to be. And sickle cell will not limit them. The impossibility for one in life is endless. And therefore, sickle cell should not stop anyone. It should not bring you down. It should not make you cry. Yes, you are allowed to cry. You are allowed to have days. I have those. I mean, I won't lie in all my positivity-ness. I do have my days of frustration. But think about it this way. If you are meant to live on Earth for 80 years or 70 years, how long will you cry? How long will you complain? How long will you sulk? You going to sit in the corner and just continue crying for the rest of your life? I don't think so. I say get up, get there, and take each day as it comes, because we sickle cell creatures are called warriors, and warriors are fighters. The battlefield is hard. We will fight every day, but we will be victors because we are more than conquerors.
Very good advice.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. We want to thank you for joining the show today. You have been just amazing with the interview. How can our listeners, how can they learn more about you? Do you have any social media accounts or any way to contact you? If people have any other questions or if they want to find out more information?
Absolutely. Yeah, so I have a page. My page is very simple. It's just Luin by my first name. That's LWIMBA. So you'll find this on Facebook. Then if there's anyone who wants to get in touch, my first name, but with my K, luinbak@yahoo.com.
Okay. Very nice.
You can get in touch with me. Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Wimba. We really, really appreciate you sharing your story, and you're such an inspiration. And, you know,
thank you so much. I'm so humbled.
Well, it was our honor to have you on.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. You guys are great as well. I went through your profiles and wow. And I thought I had problems.
I thought I had problems.
So you guys are inspiration. Well, and you are doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
May you continue to do that, and may you continue to be the people that you are today. I mean, I was amazed. I was blown away.
Yeah, Jean is definitely keeping me motivated and busy, and keeping my mind busy so I don't deteriorate. And it's working.
Yeah, we're trying. And Ron's trying to hang on for, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead, Ron.
All right. Well, thank you again, Wimba.
Thank you.
If our listeners out there have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com through our website, podcastdx.com. They can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast, or drop us a line at podcast@yahoo.com. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or a treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.